Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 91, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah,
podcast, where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, July 17th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jackseat Driver. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hi, Midas Des, kyo no, a.k.a. Miles Gray, a.k.a. Scarlett Johansson as Miles Gray.
Hey,
and
all
that comes
right
from Taylor Fleming, at Taylor T. Fleming. From
yeah, I feel like she would bring some, you know, much-needed gravitas to the role.
Yeah, my mom used to try and tell her about me when she would interview her.
Really?
Like for movie junkets. Be like, yo, my son, right, he's like your age. I think, whatever. He lives with me. he's a fan of your work.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And you're still a fan of her work and
big
all of her
fan
ideas.
Big fan, big supporter of ideas, big supporter of art and the ability because art, the argument because art,
right,
you could do whatever.
What, just because, you know, she's a white woman, she's not supposed to be able to do like those warm-ups in acting class where she pretends to be a different animal?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that, what?
What's next?
Yeah, what's next?
I can only play Scarlett Johansson in documentaries.
She's going to marry her dog?
Yep. Well,
we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny Matt Lieb.
Yo,
what's up, man?
Matt Lieb here, a.k.a. Fat Dweeb, according to all of the bullies in elementary
school. Ouch, Fat Dweeb.
Yeah.
Well, at least they did it with both names. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, they were very creative.
Yeah.
Were you fat?
Nah, it just rhymes with Matt.
See, those are lazy. You know, like, they're not as cutting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, fucking, what couldn't they call you?
Well, you
damn,
know,
there's nothing really good with Matt.
Well, Rat.
Rat, Rat Dweeb.
Rat Dweeb.
Yeah, Bat Dweeb.
No, Rat Dweeb is fucked up.
Yeah, Rat Dweeb is like low-key anti-Semitic, and everyone there was also Jewish, so they probably wouldn't have done it.
Oh, they knew better. They're like,
yeah, they're like, nah.
Okay, never mind.
Like, we won't say that.
We'll say Fat Dweeb.
Yeah, we'll call him
we'll
Fat.
We'll just come at his appearance.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, we're thrilled to have you back
here.
Dude,
I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, man. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about, such as the Shambong We'll let you know if that is something to do with ShamWow or something to do with champagne. We're going to talk about Trump's racially tinged tweets from over the weekend.
Divisive language.
Yes, charged, racially charged tweets. And
Klan-fueled Twitter.
And just find different ways to talk about that without calling it racist. We're going to talk about the Seth Rich conspiracy theory that arose during the 2016 presidential election, and we found out in the past, 9 days that that was actually planted by Russian intelligence. We're going to talk about...
Oh, snap.
We're going to talk about just how it probably why the president was feeling a little bit extra yesterday was because of how... that's a new one. The tweets were a little bit extra.
Extra.
Yeah, he was being extra.
A little spicy.
Yeah. Speaking of cultural appropriation, our foremost thinker on that subject, Scarlett Johansson, had some things to say in an interview over the weekend. We're going to talk about that. And the controversy over the new James Bond being a black woman.
Or 007.
Right, exactly. It's not true. We'll talk about that. But first, Matt, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, man?
Oh, well, one of the most recent things I searched was how to treat a sty.
Oh,
it's
garlic. Did you get the potato one?
What it revealed, what?
Did you get the potato?
There's the potato cure for it?
There's a potato. I used to get a lot of styes when I lived in New York City. I've got a...
Specifically New York.
Got a bad habit of rubbing my eyes after digging through trash.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was also like in my early 20s when I wasn't sleeping much and staying up all night, and that could have had something to do with it.
Interesting. But so you put a potato on it?
For a hot compress, rather than using like a hot washcloth, if you heat a potato and then wrap that in a wet washcloth, it stays hot for much longer.
Oh, shit. So, I never even thought about that.
So
here I was. I was just pouring boiling water on my eye.
Just directly into the
eye. Directly on it. Yeah, I got to look good, you know? So I needed that sty to go away, dude.
Yeah. You have just all sorts of blisters around your eye.
Yeah, everything's worse now, but the sty's gone.
Yes.
Didn't
no,
Charlotte Lauriston, like when she was in way back, say the Haitian cure was garlic on the sty?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then garlic I think you were making the joke of like, well, I heard it was Irish or potatoes because I'm Irish, whatever. Right. And she was garlic.
Yeah. I heard it was latkes. So, hey. I just put a wet washcloth on it and, just kind of waited it out, and instead of it getting better, it just kept getting worse. And I just realized that when you have a sty, you just have to ignore it and just watch people look at it. It's a very fun game where when you're talking to someone at work and you just watch them kind of look at the eye over and over again, and then you just go, you're looking at my eye.
Yeah, you're looking at my sty. I got a sty in my eye.
Every time they say eye, like, what about my eye?
What about my eye?
I just said I'm going to the bathroom.
Look at your weird eye.
Yeah. Why would I look at, is there something wrong with that weird eye?
But yeah, I mean, that must be what it's like to have like a lazy eye or, you know, like a glass eye.
Yeah.
All day.
It's a bummer, dude.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about eye contact. I just, walk into a room.
Strong eye contact.
And just make strong eye contact with everybody because I'm very confident.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to keep eye contact. Yeah. When
there's one thing you know about Jack. It's his laser-like eye contact.
That's right.
Fucking melt a glacier.
I have the eye contact of early career Snoop Dogg. You would always look at his shoes when he was rapping.
What a very specific,
very specific.
Wow. But I just remember first time I saw him.
You're like, he's like me.
The first time I saw him, like when he was looking at the camera, I was like, I don't like this dude anymore.
Believe in yourself, Calvin.
What is something you think is overrated?
Stranger Things.
Oh,
on
shit.
Netflix. Okay. Done with it. People, people like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only okay. Boom.
Wow.
Spicy ass take.
God damn.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, those kids are so cute or whatever. I think they're mediocre at
best.
In terms of cuteness, like I think they, gross.
Jack almost died.
Mediocre cuteness, I love.
Not even that cute.
Yeah.
Standard cute.
I think Millie Bobby Brown. You know, actually, she's pretty good.
She's a good actress. Yeah,
I gotta say, you know, when she cries, I cry. It's an amazing skill that she has. But everyone else, trash.
I haven't seen the third season yet. That's my next thing. You're missing nothing. I miss nothing.
You miss nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's just, it's about a bunch of, like, member when kind of, like, porn.
Remember?
And this is the thing. I liked the first and second season. You know, I thought, like, the storyline was good. This is just another, like, we got to close the portal.
Right. Yeah.
How many times are you going to open the portal, close the portal? After a while, I'm like, just let the...
portal do its thing.
Yeah,
man.
Let the, you know, the upside down come into this world, see what happens. Maybe it's chill.
Yeah. That's when we know the writer's room, they've given up.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the whole thing is being upside down. Or the season be fucked up, and if we have to bail ourselves out, we're like, because it was the upside down the whole time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're going to lost it.
Yeah. Oof.
I definitely think they're the Stranger Things, and I'm saying this as an expert who has only seen the first season, the Stranger Things monster is like kind of a weak point. It's like,
it's the weakest point, because it's like you're... I'm more interested in kind of like what's going on in this world, the world building
the
is
world.
Fun, and then there's a spooky monster, and it's like, I got lots of teeth, and it's like, I don't care about
that. Upside down.
Do you learn more about like this weird, where Millie Bobby Brown came from? Because I remember that was what they were kind of teasing out in the second season.
They don't, no. You get nothing from
that.
From the best storyline in season two, you get nothing about Millie Bobby Brown's character. 11, nothing, zero.
I guess I will have to watch it.
Yeah.
Do you learn anything about where New Coke came from?
No, but you do. There is a very weird conversation about New Coke in the middle of it that feels very like, is New Coke coming?
In.
Yeah, is it coming
back
or something?
No, it is. And
That's what it was. I knew it was some corporate tie-in.
Was it that painful?
Oh, my God. It was, as I was watching it, I was like.
It tastes great.
You thought you were in the fucking upside down.
I thought I was in the upside down where like everyone's like, what if we just said fuck it and made ads in the middle of shows just super apparent?
Right.
What if like, you know, in the middle of fucking Game of Thrones, someone just literally drank a Starbucks cup rather than having it on the side. It was like, it is the most painfully obvious corporate tie-in, but I was like, wait.
They wouldn't do this.
I bet New Coke is not coming back because that'd be stupid. And oh my God.
Yeah, it came back just for this.
And I'm tired of that kid. That Finn Wolfhard.
Yo, he's very nice. I did an interview with him and I could not believe he's from British Columbia. Most people I've met from British Columbia are very chill people.
Well, maybe he's just a good actor, but when he's being kind of a dick in this season, there was part of me that was just like, oh, that's him in real life, and I've decided all child actors should be
canceled
and illegal and replaced with CGI.
Thank you. Or Scarlett Johansson.
She can play anybody.
She can play any child.
Dude, yes.
She's got that skill.
Yeah.
She does.
And that skin.
Like when they're talking about New Coke, do they talk about the fact that it was a Bill Cosby like aligned product launch?
They did not bring up
the cause. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been like, and there's one thing we know is he will never be canceled. Right, that's what they said out loud. It was crazy.
Uncancelable.
Yeah. Uncancelable.
What is something you think is underrated?
Tube and throat singing.
Whoa, hell yeah.
Tube and throat singing is the fucking shit. Like I've been obsessed with this band Hunher 2.
Okay.
They're like
the metal band?
No. They're like more traditional. I've listened to the metal bands. I think the metal bands are rad, but like these guys just do all the traditional songs. All their songs are about like mountains and horses and shit.
Yeah.
But there's something about the way they sing about mountains and horses. Yeah. It's mostly the tube and throat singing part.
Right.
But it's like, it's just such beautiful music, and it makes me feel like such like a Berkeley liberal. Like I feel like I should have a ponytail when I'm listening to it, because I'm like, this is just a fascinating song. Just beautiful and spiritual, and like, but I feel like an asshole listening to it. But it's so good.
And it's like the only type of singing where like two voices are coming out
of the same polyphonic overtones, which is so hard
really
to do.
Cool, yeah.
You can do two notes at the same time. And you can, if you can whistle, you can actually do three.
Yeah.
Oh, which is shit. Insane. If you're doing like as kids we do the tractor beam.
Right. Yeah.
Whoa. On top of your tube and throat singing.
Right.
Wow, you're like the new Rozelle.
Wait, that was amazing.
What That's you just did. Humming and whistling.
Wow.
I hate it.
Yeah, I can see why you're blown away
I'm
by this.
Away.
Yeah,
you're
like, this is it, man.
Dude, mouth sounds are so rad.
Have you ever seen someone snap?
I can do that. I'm not.
Okay.
Look at that.
Okay.
But I can.
Wow.
Can you whistle? No, just groan while you do it.
Nice. Nailed it. What's a myth?
I think I just had an orgasm.
What is a myth, Matt?
What is a myth?
What's something people think is true?
This is going to be like a hot take, but Mercury retrograde is some bullshit. Uh-huh. I know it's happening.
Isn't bullshit, you said?
It is bullshit.
Oh,
is some
fuck
bullshit.
You.
I know it's happening. I know that literally Mercury is in retrograde, which has something to do with the moon or Mercury. One of those things.
Or driving a Mercury Sable.
Or driving a Lincoln Mercury Sable.
Right.
But honestly, like every. I feel like it happens a lot. I feel like every other day someone's like, yeah. It's Mercury retrograde. That's why we're not communicating well. And it's like, no, it can't always be that. Sometimes it's just like you just know a lot of flakes.
Right.
It's not Mercury retrograde. Some people are just bad at planning.
Right.
I mean, people say it's that, and I just, you know, I just don't believe in it.
We just had a very similar take from one of our guests last week that they were saying that they're tired of people blaming their personality defects on their
on the moon
astrological sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, yeah, it's annoying.
Is astrology having a moment right now, or is it just
yes.
because we live in LA?
No, it's having
I think it's constantly been in. It's in a perpetual
right.
moment.
Yeah, well, that's true. Every moment, in a way, is astrology.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. of the moon and star.
And the infinite present.
And the, yeah, yeah. But no, it's having a moment. It's having a moment because we're living the age of like the legit grifter, you know? Like people
right.
who were grifters before were kind of like relegated to, you know, everyone knew they were grifting, so they
right.
stayed away. Now we got everyone being a grifter, so you might as well get in on a fucking crystal
right.
grift.
Yeah.
So and astrology grifts are coming back. I don't think there's anything wrong with an astrology grift, though. There's nothing inherently wrong with it, just the way there's nothing inherently wrong with religion. You know,
right.
it's just the use of it in order to, like, gain income and stuff.
It does
like
feel
that.
Like it's a possibly a religion replacement.
It is a religion replacement.
Yeah, because
like,
you're giving it up to a higher power.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I feel like it's a good thing for some people, just as long as, you know, they don't use it for evil.
Right.
Like, it'd be crazy if someone created, like, an astrology army. Like all these crystal people were
right.
like, activate! And
right,
then everyone,
yeah.
they got arms and stuff. They started
just a fight to the death between the signs.
Crystal-powered fucking
just,
weaponry.
Yeah. Marianne Williamson leads an army of crystal people
oh,
to just,
wow.
like...
Oh, shit.
Holy shit,
fuck.
Dude.
That needs to be a movie, man.
I'm into that.
I think it's called Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, according to astrologers, Mercury retrogrades three times. March 5th through the 28th was the last time.
Uh-huh.
This next one is July 7th to August 2nd. And then the next one is from Halloween until November 20th.
I mean, okay.
So then what? People are going to have real shitty
what
Halloween.
Is supposed to be happening when...
Just bad communication.
Bad communication.
Bad communication.
Okay.
That's like, at least
just
that's...
Just our signals are off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
literally just every time my girlfriend and I don't communicate, she's like, Mercury's in retrograde. That's
uh-huh.
a problem. That's why
Got
we didn't.
It.
I'm like, nah.
Nah.
It's because you're not good at Google. You know, you got to learn
you
that Google
communicate
calendar.
Through Google. Oh, Google Calendar.
Yeah, you
got
to put stuff on your
that
calendar, girl.
Got to. You got to do that. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I put it on your Google calendar.
Yeah, you should know where I'm at.
And I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
I will begin looking at the calendar.
Yes. Oh, okay. You're the one who doesn't
I am
check
the one
the
who
calendar.
Does not.
Yeah.
I'm
too.
Such a
yeah.
fucking space person.
Yeah, me too.
Most people will know this about me, but yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the shambong.
Shambong.
Shake a bong bong, shambong bong. Mm. What the fuck is this thing? Okay.
I couldn't tell. So first you said, do you know about the shambong?
I look at you dead in your eye. I go, what
yeah.
the fuck do you
and
know
I'm,
about
And I'm, of course, already making eye contact with you because
yep.
I'm a very confident, laser-focused man.
My mm. eyelids were burnt.
And yeah, you said, do you know about the shambong? And I had the same reaction as you, Matt. I said, does it have something to do with ShamWow?
It sounds like it.
And... No, it is. And then I saw a picture and still couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah, so I'm cruising, what do you call that, Instagram, and one of these ads comes up, and it looks like a bunch of fun, like, one percenter wannabes with
right.
these, like, weird fucking champagne flutes that look like crack pipes or just
yeah.
some kind mm-hmm. of fucking bass pipe. I don't know what the fuck. And anyway, it's like, shambong, we're loving it. And I look up into it a little bit more. I asked DJ Daniel, he's heard of it. Apparently, it's just a way to fucking slam champagne way quicker, like beer bomb champagne. And there's something, I know, it's like, That's a fun gag gift, but part of me finds it like really fucking disconcerting. Like, it's like peak class cosplay where you're consuming expensive liquor or alcohol as quickly as possible with no regard for its value. Like, there was something about it that I was like, this is fucking odd. And also, just for anybody who's drank champagne to excess, it's not the shit you want to be drinking to excess.
Yeah.
It is just the sugar fucks your fucking soul.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing.
It's a bummer, but also like that's so fucking sick.
It is tight, and that's what's so funny when you look at it. Everyone's like, "This is the tightest shit."
Fucking chill, because like you know when you're like fucking, you're like you got a bunch of like champagne, but you're like, how do I drink this shit faster, dude?
Yeah,
right.
Like I really need to like get this in my system.
Yeah,
that's what the Shark Tank pitch I think sounded.
Yeah,
like.
Hell yeah, dude. Like, hey, what's up, everyone? Hey, Mark Cuban.
What's up?
So you know how you can't drink champagne fast enough?
Right.
All right, Matt. What are we talking here? What kind of money are you looking for equity in this company?
Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for having me on Shark Tank. I think that's really chill. Yeah. Mark, I know you and my dad are like personal friends, and so I think it's really cool that
Jeffrey Epstein.
I think last time we were all on the island together, I think we talked about this, but let me get in more detail. It's called the Shambong, and
I'm
basically,
in.
Oh, you're cool. All right, hell yeah, dude. See you at the island.
This whole fucking thing, when I look at the website, though, it's even more of a parody of itself. Because already the idea that, like, you need to be drinking champagne like this, it's just a gag gift for sure. But also, it seems like they're also trying to make a fucking, like, whole movement out of this.
Yeah.
When you go on the, like, about section, this first is a very cheeky dictionary entry. Shambong. Noun. A device used for the rapid and enhanced experience of sparkling wine/champagne consumption. It'll make you friends, land you that big promotion, fill the void, mic drop, walk off home run, pick up mic, crush karaoke, make your parents proud. What the fuck?
I like how real they got with fill the void.
Yeah, right? That was odd.
Just for one moment, they were just like, just jam out, karaoke, fill the void, have sex.
Right.
Dad will love me. It's just like, damn, dude.
So then after that, I'm like, okay, how?
It does look like something you smoke meth out of or smoke.
It's
some
very
sort of
dark.
Out of.
It looks like a pookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does not look like some. If a cop pulled you over and saw that in your driver's seat, they would probably not think, oh, this person loves Moe.
Yeah.
They're like, this person is Rocky Roading it up. Right. Now, when you look at the fucking. The evolution of this device, this is where it becomes fucking unbearable. So it's like how it started, our history. The origins of the first Shambong came about in early 2014 during a moment preempting the Super Bowl. We had an epiphany a week prior to the big event to create a Super Bowl. The resulting device of our imagination harnessed an ability to hold an extraordinary amount of cannabis. However, it was sadly non-functional as a smoking apparatus. Fortune would prevail several evening later. Nice typo there. While onlookers examining the piece.
Trying to sound so smart.
I know.
Yeah.
While onlookers examining the piece remarked at how it looked like a fantastic wine shooter, they promptly filled it with champagne and experienced the resulting magic, and thus was born the glory that is the Shambong.
So basically, we have this failed device, right? And we were like, fuck, what else can we put in here that works? And then we put in some liquid.
Right.
And that shit worked.
Also, like,
fuck,
I like the idea that...
I'm still sad. How do I make myself not sad?
Yeah, fuck, I'm still sad.
The resulting device of our imagination harnessed is just a great string of words.
That's like that super long sentence when, like, you're just trying to... Just express one idea, like I used to do in like my freshman college papers.
Yes, exactly.
Inherently, when you the sum of all of these assertions would lead, like it's like my man, colonizer is bad. And you get an A. So this is the thing. Then the testimonials too that they also have on the website just sound like really cool people.
Oh hell yeah!
This is from Maria. If this baby is not part of your travel necessities, you are not living right. I love the plastic Shambong because it packs easy and I don't have to worry about it breaking. Plus, having TSA do a double check when scanning my bag is always fun to watch. #classyAF #don't judge my life.
No, like hashtag alcoholism for sure. If you're traveling with that, yeah. Jesus Christ.
No, you got to travel with it.
Also, I like your privilege when you're like, I like when TSA fucks with me more than they need to.
Right. Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
That part too, when yeah. I have wage workers being like, is this a safety hazard?
And I'm like, fuck you, clown.
We're drinking champagne, which you'll never fucking taste.
Fuck you, clown. I'm an alcoholic. Loser.
There's another one from Kurt. Everyone at Shambong, merci beaucoup. I purchased one. I purchased one for my wife and one for a neighbor. We're hooked. My neighbor ended up buying, I think is what they meant.
Right. My neighbor ended.
My neighbor ended. Right. Buying three
now,
more,
dude.
And his boss purchased another 10. Short story, Shambong has invaded southeastern New Hampshire, and we're loving it.
Uh-huh.
The holidays have started a little early this year. Cheers, Kurt.
Posted in January.
Yeah.
Dude, we're hooked, and my neighbor ended up... I liked this idea where he's like, I got my wife, and then my neighbor, who we like threesome up with. Sometimes.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we get fucked up off the Shambong.
Yeah. That sounds like the most insufferable like neighbors possible who are just like, yo, we love to party with our neighbors. Yeah. Come on over, dude.
I had a neighbor like that
who
was so fucking friendly to the point where like at times you would feel bad. Oh. Because it's like, because they're doing a lot. They're like, hey man, I got tri-tip on.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, bruh, no. Like also like what ends up happening is around 10 o'clock, you bring out a bag of cocaine and your acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
and you make
yeah.
everybody sit through a fucking concert.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't. Spaceman.
Yeah, no, it really is on some fucking David Brent shit. Spaceman came down. And it's like, no, man, I can't.
You're colorblind.
Racial.
Racial.
People remember offhanded office quotes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and we're going to listen to a clip from Fox and Friends from over the weekend as they read live on the air the president's extremely racist tweets and were justifiably outraged. Let's hear it.
Yeah, and I just it was refreshing to hear how disgusted they were by the whole thing.
Without a doubt, you know, we're not the only ones to notice. President Trump noticing, tweeting this morning this. So interesting to see progressive Democrat congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they even have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done. These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy to quickly work out free travel arrangements. This tweet that you're just seeing now is clearly going to get, I think, a lot of discussion.
Someone's feeling very comedic today.
Comedian in chief.
Oh, xenophobia.
Dude, I love it. Dude, these are fucking great jokes.
Yeah,
like, dude, did you hear when he told them to like go back to their own country? Okay. Yeah. But then he was like, come back though.
Right.
Yeah. But he didn't mean it. That was a joke. The joke was that they shouldn't come back.
Right, because they're never going to solve the problems because their countries are broken.
Bring back your foreign wisdom.
Yes.
This is, I mean, look, this is, if you've been paying attention to this president at all, you know he's racist. Right. You know he's been a racist since time immemorial.
Right. Yeah.
But the fucking, for whatever reason, this weekend, like, the media and other people were, like, so many takes that were, like, it's official. Right. Trump's racist.
Right.
Or, like, after racially charged, you know, Twitter storm, the president, it might be the bigot in chief. Might be.
Right. I really want to hear from the guy who's, like, nah, I need 4 more incidents of overt racism.
It was an accident. He was just...
In 2015, I said it first. I said, I will need 23 overt incidents.
We're at 19.
We're at 19. I need a few more, dude. I need a few more.
And he's going to really be testing me.
He's really... You're getting close, Mr. President,
these
who I respect.
Goofy antics. And then, you had people... So then what happened then is the GOP and the media, everyone's doing fucking backflips to try and avoid describing this as anything but racist.
I mean, do we need to even say who he was talking about? He was talking about
Ayanna Pressley, the Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. Yeah. Who three mostly are born in the United States, but because they are women of color, he's like, go back to where you came from, to your country.
Which is the trope, the racist language that everyone goes, imagine just, you know, take away the details of it being the president. If some person, some asshole was screaming that at a person of color in public, you'd be like, yo, fucking handle this racist motherfucker.
And it's literally cartoon racism.
Yeah.
It's like what you in a shitty political cartoon would like show as the racist saying.
Right.
It's the most hack racist phrase there is.
Yeah, it's not even
back to where you came from.
Right.
It's like racism has gotten much more like, you know, coded for a long time, and now we're back to that.
Yeah, it's, go back to the place I stole you from.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But then you have people like Lindsey Graham, who was out here being like, they're communists. They hate America. He fully showed his ass on Fox.
Dude, it was hilarious. He's like, they hate Israel. They hate America. They're anti-Semitic. They don't like Israel.
Who's
he
talking
about? America. They hate
freedom.
They hate freedom. They hate the Jews.
They don't like patriots.
Like, after a while,
they don't
like
the patriots.
Can you stop saying hate Jews over and over again? Because they hate the Jews. Like, after a while.
It sounds weird coming out of your southern mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Lindsey Graham hates the Jews. Yeah.
Right. They hate the Jew.
They're tired of international
Singularly?
Jewry.
What the fuck? Yeah.
They don't like the Jewish media.
They
don't like
read
the control
yet.
Of the government. Right. They don't like the Jewish lizard people. They do not like our overlords. They are. It's like, Jesus Christ.
They didn't even read all of the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Exactly.
They basically thumbed through it.
It's so weird because it's just there's no way in the world that Lindsey Graham isn't one of those people who believes that once all the Jews move to Israel, that Jesus will come back and then annihilate 2/3 of the Jews.
Yeah, right.
Like, every time a Southern Christian person says, like, I support Israel, I'm like, oh, you want us all dead.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you want Jesus too.
You want Jesus to come back
2.0.
And be like, laser eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jack O'Brien. Yeah. Laser eyes.
Laser eyes O'Brien. That's my new AK.
Are you Jesus?
Yeah. Might be.
Lindsay, just come on over. Come see Jesus with your own eyes.
So there were a number of almost impressive attempts to avoid calling these comments racist by the GOP.
Mm.
The cynicism and the way that they just stuck to the script was kind of wild. We had, I guess, Mike Pence's chief of staff who went on a couple different programs and gave the exact same explanation twice. I think,
is very compelling, actually.
Yeah.
He, of all the people who did try and explain away the president's racism, I found this one to be probably the most even-handed, rational.
You'll hear.
Why would the president intervene when the Democrats are essentially destroying one another? He belly flops right into the middle of that and essentially unites the Democrats once again against him.
Well, if the Democrats choose to want to unite around Ilhan Omar, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them. But, you know, Dagan, since I returned back to the White House, one of the greatest experiences I had was the chance to join the vice president on Independence Day. And when the vice president swore in 50 new naturalized citizens, it was a remarkable day. And that day, he was joined by a cabinet member in this administration who came to the United States as a child, unable to speak English, learned English, and eventually became a naturalized citizen.
Oh, wow.
She is an Asian American, Elaine Chao, serving in the cabinet of the Trump administration. So when people write that the president has racist motives here, it's just look at the reality of who's actually serving in Donald Trump's cabinet. He's making a point about a great frustration a lot of people feel that I think it's hard to find anything Ilhan Omar has actually said since elected to Congress has been positive about the United States of America.
Mm. Racist.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he said. If they use racist language, sure. I like people of color as props.
Mm-hmm.
Just gesture to the person of color to say, oh, really? Then why does Elaine Chao exist?
Yeah.
Right.
Ah.
That's impossible.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell's wife.
Wait, is that really?
Yeah, that's Mitch McConnell's wife.
Oh, wow.
Who is also the fucking destroyer. Like, as serving as a transportation secretary, we discussed this, like, how she is invested in a company that's, like, one of the largest gravel suppliers. So by being the transportation secretary, you'd be like, yeah, let's build this road and let's use this company I own.
Wow.
Or, like, there's just so much shit about, you know, where her motives and what she's trying to do, because a lot of people also suspect just with her position being Mitch McConnell's wife, she's like doing a lot of back end stuff with Chinese companies and even trying to get her relatives in China hooked up with the government there just because she's Mitch's wife. It's I don't know. But again, you had people like him doing the same shit. So that was Mark Short on a Fox Business show.
Yeah.
Then if like 2 hours later, he had to go see the press outside the White House.
Yeah.
And guess when they ask him again, what do you make of the president's racist intent? Did he have racist intent? Here's his answer.
Since returning to the White House, one of the greatest pleasures and honors I had was actually joining the vice president on Independence Day when he swore in 50 new naturalized citizens. And I wish there'd been more of you guys present for that ceremony at the National Archives. And he was joined that day by a cabinet member in this administration who came to the United States.
Word.
As a young child, unable to speak English, learned English, and became a naturalized citizen. She still serves in our cabinet, Elaine Chao. I don't think that the president's intent in any way is racist. I think he's trying to point out the fact that since elected, it's hard to find anything Ilhan Omar said that actually is supportive of the United States of America.
I mean, you gotta say that it is something to move all the way to the United States of America, move here, learn the language, And then fuck Mitch McConnell. Like, oh God, holy shit. You've put in, you've paid your dues.
That is capitalism, peak
holy
capitalism.
Holy shit. Imagine having to fuck a turtle, dude.
So the,
The
bars that they're asking us to be impressed by are that the vice president did his job. And instead of refusing to swear in
these
people of color, like citizens, he actually let them become citizens, even though a lot of them were not white, probably. And then rather than like, you know, flying off in a rage at the idea of, you know, brown people becoming American citizens. And then there was a Asian American woman there who they let be there.
So how is he racist again?
So they're basically saying, like, the racist thing to do would have been he fires her or won't allow her to be a part of his administration.
It would be whites only,
right?
Is what he would say.
Yes.
And I'm forgive me if I'm mistaken. I think she's only one of two people of color left in this administration at this point. Tell me again, Mr. Woke Ally, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, it's really just like, it's the same. It's literally just, I have a black friend. How can I be racist?
Yeah,
like,
right. You know, every time.
It's the same thing.
Oh, I hate women?
Yeah.
My mother is a woman.
Right.
My mother's a bitch. Okay. And I hate women?
Hate women. Okay. And yet I'm married to a cunt.
Yeah. Oh, you guys, fuck. Oh, my God. But it really shows you, again, it's the fact that this keeps happening. Because even like during the State of the Union, there was like another moment where they're like, and I will gesture to this person of color, therefore not racist, again and again, how this keeps fucking coming up. And you're like, here's just a quick tip for all conservatives out there. Having a person of color in your friend group or someone you don't call a racial slur to their face doesn't make you not racist. That just means you know somebody who isn't white.
Yeah, that's it.
So let go. Like, no one is following this logic where they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Except for maybe the other racists who are in denial, which brings me to Mia Love, who is a former representative from Utah who's Haitian American. And when Trump referenced Haiti in that shithole country's comment he had, she was really like, well, you know, don't like to see it. Hate to see it.
Right. Well, you hate
and then
to
just
see
like
it.
Nothing really past that. And then when asked again, what about this bullshit? She nearly broke her fucking spine.
It was
trying to like outmaneuver saying this shit was racist.
She was like, do I see how it can be seen as racist? Sure. That was as
it
far as they got.
It took a long time to even get there.
Yeah, it took like 5 minutes of people being like, no, it's racist, right? But you can say it's racist, clearly.
Well, I don't like that word.
I can't go inside the president's brain.
I don't know what's deep
intended.
In his heart.
Right.
How can anyone know what's deep
right.
in his heart?
And they're saying, no, but the statement itself.
On
the
its
one
face
that
to say
is,
that.
Statements have hearts, too, and we can't know these
I can't
things.
Assume to know the heart of a tweet.
Yeah.
And then she started off by saying, let me first just say that, you know, this is kind of an icky subject.
Right.
Yeah. That was her lead in.
They asked, how come Republicans aren't willing
to call
these comments racist? And she's saying, well, because
they're racist.
Yeah. Racism is an icky subject and they don't like to get, you know, their minds dirty.
And they don't want to think about it. And just like to move on from it.
By thinking of the day-to-day experience.
Which is just as the ignoring racism is the same shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I might not acknowledge the racial intensity, the racist intensity on that. And again, you see, like, just from the people who have spoken out, I think Lindsey Graham is really the only person who's come out and said anything. Everyone, it's fucking crickets.
Yeah.
Right.
Because.
And Lindsey Graham has said, what has he said?
He's just same
full,
shit.
He's
They're
full,
communists.
Yeah.
They hate America.
Right.
Well, what he said is, don't attack them. Don't get personal. There's no need to do that. Just attack their policies. I think
he said that, very cowardly
way of being like, yeah, it's not the best thing. But I know the president's watching, and I just on camera said he was the greatest golfer ever in front of a bunch of people. So I'm going to have to just be like, yeah, he's great.
Should literally have a checklist of different things that the Kim Jong-un's family like has done, like because claiming to be like the best golfer ever is one of the things that North Koreans are expected to believe about.
He shot an 18, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like a 22.
Or it was just only 18 strokes because it was, I don't play 18. Enough golf to know, but everyone is a hole in one.
Yeah. And
no matter how far he sliced it, it's like, actually, the hole was that way. You're right. That's a false flag
they
right
just
there.
Moved. move
the hole. We misplaced the hole again. You're right. It was by that tree or in that bunker.
Yeah. But Trump, you know, just versions of that, the American equivalent of that with people who support Trump.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it, because there's such a unwillingness to confront the racism in this country, especially for white conservatives, because they, I think they're, I mean, they do realize maybe more now. It's like, oh, right, this is the whole fuel we're riding on. Yeah. Like, because this is all meant to get his base fucking fired the fuck up.
They fully accepted. It's so funny. The Republican Party was fighting so hard in 2016 to be like, no, we're not going to be this. We're not going to be this. Right. We're not going to be this. And now they're just like, dude, power's power. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Who cares about it? Let's just, this is what we are. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to give Donald Trump credit for, you know, really making all those fools go mask off on this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of people even described it as like the president has a way of finding the racial tinder in America and giving it a little bit of spark to fan these.
It's like he literally just says racist
things. Dude, he's just saying racist shit. Stop even being poetic about this. Right. This motherfucker
is not playing 4D chess. He's right. Just like, I don't like those people.
I don't
like
brown women.
Someone with open racism that a person, like the most powerful person on the state-run TV, like basically put a hit out on last week.
Right.
Like Ilhan Omar with Tucker Carlson just being like, she's anti-American.
Yeah.
She's bad for this country.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't
brought
get my
voice. Brought to you by MyPillow.
High enough to do what he does. But
to do Tucker Carlson.
But it's funny now, hard to do. The other op-ed that's now coming out is like the same thing. It's like, so Republicans, are you okay with this? Your president being a racist?
I'm so tired of them asking.
It's you knew.
Yes.
The second he took office, you're like, all you guys, I mean, okay, you maybe could have given him maybe a couple months just to see what kind of policy was going to come up before you fully did it. By the time Charlottesville happened, if you were still riding with this president, again, and this is many takes where people are like, at this point, if you're a Republican, you're also a racist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No fucking shit.
Yeah.
Thank you. For all the people who are like, well, it's about trade with China, because I know people like that who are half people of color who are still doing all kinds of weird shit trying to make it about other things.
Right.
Excuse the racism and other. Well, look, internalized racism can be a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Real quick, I just wanted to bring up the Seth Rich conspiracy.
Hell yeah.
Because we had covered it back when it was a conspiracy theory that was being put out and actually covered by the likes of Sean Hannity and, you know, Fox News. They claimed that a Democratic intern was one of the sources for all the leaked emails and leaked information about the Clinton campaign. And then was murdered on his way to, like, you know,
tell the FBI,
I think.
At like 2 a.m. or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that whole conspiracy theory, which was rampant during the 2016 election,
is true. End of show.
Yeah.
End of show. Matt, where can people find it?
At Matt Lieb, killedsethrich.com.
It actually originated with the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service.
Damn it.
Yeah, they circulated a fake bulletin. It wasn't even really that secret, but people just didn't bother to report that. And eventually it became a talking point on far. I mean, this is how right-wing news and like a lot of right-wing narratives are generated.
And laundered.
Right. It starts out on these like far right-wing blogs. Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh reads it and like offers up a version of it on talk radio.
Yeah.
Then like the ones that kind of get going in the, you know, firmament of racism then makes it onto Fox News.
Yeah. Alex Jones, too. I mean, you know, he's a big through point with that.
Well, it just shows you that connection, right? Because it was WikiLeaks who got it. But then, like, Julian Assange was being real cheeky around this time and being like, well, I don't know if Seth Rich was working with WikiLeaks. And then to know the Russians were part of it, it's like, this is all your little fucking game that you've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of me that we had to know he was a Bond villain. He looks like a Bond villain.
Right.
Julian Assange.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where it was a...
Is he gray-haired or very light blonde?
I think I would call it rat-haired. He's got he's got this, like, you know, albino rat kind of hair.
Yeah, it's like Smeagol with a glow-up.
Smeagol
got, like, some weave just to fill out his hair.
I mean, he definitely hinted. He was like, I'm not going to say that he wasn't our source or was our source, but it's concerning that a source is dead. And you're like, you just said he's a fucking source.
Right.
Like, I didn't. Aha. Uh-huh.
It was so obvious that.
Now,
that's...
if you don't mind, I have to clean up some cat shit.
Yeah.
That yes. I left around the Ecuadorian embassy.
Wait, no, he never did that.
Oh yeah, he
never
clean
cleaned up,
yeah.
his cat shit.
He just skateboarded just over it.
That's right.
Skateboard, so rad,
skateboard
dude.
Skateboard poo.
Just rotting from the inside out. But yeah. I do, yeah, I mean, this is just, I guess, I feel like the second act of our show should just be called, like, Cognitive Dissonance Hour. Like, what people on the right are managing to ignore this time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Like,
they
do it on the left, too.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah,
people are like, Nancy Pelosi is a great leader.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She clapped at him. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, my God. Him. That meme, fuck, how many fucking years of good graces did that buy her?
My God, I just...
This, but you know what? Shout out to a meme queen who knows the meme economy.
Dude, this entire, like, there's no one worse at memes than centrist Dems. And it's like watching watching them meme makes me want to cry. It's so sad. It's like you're freaking, if your dad was like, I got really into Cardi B, okr. And you're like, just like, please stop.
Guess what? Your dad is not okr. With racism, so
that is not okr. You cannot party with Cardi and Arari if you don't have a designated driver.
And these is bloody shoes. I'm about these Laubautins.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
All right, we're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Scarlett Johansson came out in favor of art, I think is how we could describe it.
I love it.
No, she did the
she had an interview in, I think it was called As If Magazine.
Yes.
As If We Give a Fuck.
Right.
Sorry, low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit salesman. The line that was just fucking magnified was this one where she says, "You know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal because that is my job and the requirements of my job." She came out, like, everyone was like, here she goes.
Yeah.
Okay, I will give her a little bit of credit. There was a little bit of context to that answer. But okay, the fact remains that she's, the sentiment is still the same.
But that quote goes on, in the original article, it goes on to quote her as saying, "I feel like it's a trend in my business and it needs to happen for various social reasons. Yet there are times it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art because I feel art should be free of restrictions. I think society would be more connected if we just allowed others to have their own feelings and not expect everyone to feel the way we do." Which is, like, that is the Tim Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, forget it. Fuck that.
Baby boomer...
It's just like this, people keep talking about the, you know, what they're allowed and not allowed to do. And it's just like, you're allowed to do, no one's stopping.
We're just going to talk shit about it.
We're just
going to
talk shit about it.
Right.
Like, the government isn't stepping in and saying that Scarlett Johansson is not allowed to play a trans character. No one is actually physically stopping her from the state. It's literally people on Twitter. And she's just like, you know, it's just very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like, it's very uncomfortable. People actually are making me sort of see my privilege.
Yeah, right.
But I look at it as art. Yeah, I guess the only thing I was just going to say was the tree line, because people were like, what the fuck was that? It's because in this photo shoot, the photographer that they were doing this dual interview was like, now embody a tree or something. That doesn't really diminish any of the bullshit she said.
Yeah,
because
then
she goes on, that's just sort of like, because it's art, you know?
Yeah.
And this whole idea of like, well... Look, if it's really art and you're doing some kind of abstract piece where you, Scarlett Johansson, wants to embody some other person who is not you,
right,
a cisgendered, heterosexual female, white woman, then maybe, sure, for some abstract piece. But if it's about being in a feature film,
right,
which is very different, like, that's part of the media that people, like, I mean, yes, there's an art form to it.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, when you talk about the sort of weight of the representation that comes along with these films, that's not it.
Yeah.
And I think she needs to begin to see that rather than being like, man, political correctness.
Yeah.
It's just lazy, and it's rather, there's no investigation of herself in that.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, art sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Art's garbage, dude.
Yeah.
I don't like any of it.
Yeah. What's the sickest artist to you, dude?
Dude, like, whoever does the fucking magic eye posters.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That shit is pretty good art because, like, you cross your eyes and it looks like a 3D object. Other than that,
yo, I was never able to fucking see that shit.
Really?
I used to lie as a kid.
Oh, you got to be good at art to see that.
This is you coming clean?
Yeah, this is Miles Gray coming clean.
Yeah. It's a dolphin. That's the key, is they're always dolphins.
I'm always asking, I'm like, what? How's it? Because there used to be a magic eye shop in the fucking mall.
Oh, yeah.
By my school.
I remember
that. I remember going in there and they were like, you know, just where kids would just look at shit. And I remember being like so ashamed. Like, I was like, how the fuck do you do this?
I love it. I love it for you. It was just a Rorschach. You were like, oh, dude, yeah, I see it. It's my dad fucking my mom.
Right.
We were like, no, it's not.
It's a dinosaur.
It's a dinosaur. Oh, yeah.
I know.
But you never forget where you were the first time you saw one of those things, man. It's a magical experience.
Yeah. That,
are you supposed to just look directly in the middle, or are you
supposed to kind of cross your eyes?
That's the thing, because people are like, you got to cross your eyes. Cut to me looking like my eyes are about to fucking cross off my face. I'm like, I can't see this shit.
Yeah. And they're that's like, not what you're supposed to do.
You just, well, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to unfocus your eyes and then refocus.
It got to a point, man, by the early 90s where I could just walk up to one of those things, boom, see it.
Oh, fuck you, magic eye
like
privilege.
It's like a fucking superpower,
It's the only thing you ever looked in the eye.
Exactly.
I will only look at the magic eye.
That's right. The only eye I will look at with my own eyes.
The only eye contact you make is magic eye contact.
That's right.
I'm trying to look at one right now. This shit is not. How much do you cross your eye?
All right. This is great radio.
No,
but
I love it.
I'm telling you, I need tips. Zeit Gang, if you know how to fucking, there's probably a YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, DJ Daniel's gesturing, go very close to it, then lean back, Do the Rockaway. Okay.
People say that, but I always just like unfocus my eye and I can see it.
Yeah. Okay. You just kind of have to look through it.
Yeah.
I think I have to look through my third eye.
Yeah. That's what kind of in a way. Yeah. Anyways, that's the only good art.
Got to the point where I could see it while closing my eyes.
Oh, just sense it. You, you could touch it. You could smell the ink.
I could smell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That is wild that was a thing where they were like, we're going to have a whole store of these things, man. Everything's going to be magic eyes in the future. Know.
Dude, the mall was a place where a store like that could exist. Now, not anymore. Fucking Amazon, dude.
Dude, yeah.
What a loss.
Well, Capital was just flying the fuck around so freely. Yeah. They were like, yeah, man, you want to fucking make a poster store with just this weird shit that'll last 5 years? Yeah. Shout out to Imaginarium, though. I wish that place was still open.
Shout out to Spencer's Gifts for like sticking it out. I feel like every time I go into a mall, everything's closed, but Spencer's Gifts is like, hey man, do you want a blacklight mushroom? Yeah. And I'm like, always,
a black
dude.
Thank
you.
Mushroom.
It's like the roaches of the mall. Like they will never die.
Yeah. They stay forever.
Yeah.
Glowing.
That's my decor is all blacklight mushrooms. That's our theme.
It's like a Sublime song. And then like a cartoon cat.
You gotta have the 40 ounces to freedom poster in blacklight. Felt blacklight.
Somebody retweeted just like if you Google Scarlett Johansson quotes, a page of like quotes from her come up.
Nice.
And so I can't find who tweeted this, but I just did it myself. And so let me just read a couple of them. One of the best things for a woman to hear is that she is sexy. I definitely believe in plastic surgery. I don't want to be an old hag. There's no fun in that. I just adored working with Woody. He has more. He was more than I could have ever dreamed. I'd do it a million times over. I don't go to McDonald's anymore. After I saw Super Size Me, no way. Anyways.
Dude, I love that. After Super Size Me, no way.
I'm out. I hope they make a video game of me. At least I wouldn't have any cellulite then.
Oh, wow. Love your body.
Yeah.
Scarlett, come on now.
Come on now, Scarlett.
Scarlett. Just play these really cool white women you've been playing.
Yeah.
No shame in that.
Let's talk about the most recent fake controversy about how wokeness is taking over our culture and killing.
Finally, someone's saying it.
Yes. So people on the right and just everywhere are up in arms about this report that the new James Bond is a black woman.
Yeah. Please drop a bomb.
So Lashana Lynch, who played Captain Marvel's fighter pilot friend in Captain Marvel, is taking over as 007. So that caused people to picture just the movie poster with her, you know, in the Bond role.
In a tuxedo.
She's the star. Yeah, in a tuxedo, like some sort of man.
Only men are supposed to wear tuxedos. Right. Women are supposed to wear party
dresses. Unless you're Janelle Monáe.
Right.
One exception.
Yeah.
So she was originally, it was originally reported that she was one of the Bond girls, and now they're saying she's going to be 007, but the context of this is that Daniel Craig is retired, 007 is a code name,
right,
and she's the new 007 who's filling his role while he's retired, and then she has to like get him to come back. So she is, again, a supporting character who has to like bring the real 007 back, and... Yeah, I don't know. So our writer, J.M. McNabb, pointed out the kind of parallels between this and when it was, I don't know if I can spoiler alert, I guess,
for
on
what?
Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
a lot of people still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Fuck. All right, spoiler
just
alert.
Just do it. Spoil it.
Buckle up.
There was like all sorts of rumors after that Spider-Man was going to replace Tony Stark as Iron Man, because Tony Stark went to live on a nice farm with a nice old couple.
No.
At the end, that's how it ends.
Damn.
What old couple?
Yeah, they're like they're friends of your grandparents.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice for
you. They have actually a lot of Tony Starks.
A lot of Tony Starks.
Playboy billionaires.
All of my dogs are there.
Yeah. And they're all going to play together. it's a great place. Anyways, he was pointing out that Meanwhile, there is Don Cheadle's Colonel Rhodes,
right,
who is already a person in
an Iron Man suit yeah,
who nobody even like considers would replace Iron Man. They're like, yeah, so which white guy is it going to be that replaces Iron Man? And yeah, similarly, I'm sure this will be a thing where, you know, she is just there to activate his
Daniel Craig back. Yeah.
Right.
So she just came up on the name. Her name is not fucking James Bond.
Her name is not James Bond.
Right. That's why when they say a black woman is like this Daily Beast tweet that was like, a black woman is taking over as James Bond.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
But I guess it, then you sort of get an inside baseball because you have to also know that James Bond's code is 007 within.
Right.
And then,
imagine not knowing anything about James Bond, but being angry about that.
Right.
And you're like, that's our guy. And it's like, no, 007. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's the code. Well, I've never seen the films myself, but I have seen white people and I do enjoy us.
But I do like broccoli. Wasn't the guy who wrote it Albert R. Broccoli or something?
Broccoli.
Isn't that the name of the dude who created the character?
The guy who wrote it is Ian Fleming.
He's the producer, Albert R. Broccoli.
Yeah. Broccoli.
And did the originals.
Also, Barbara Broccoli is current producer.
Barbara Broccoli.
Man, I didn't even know that this actress, Lashana Lynch, was British.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought she was a fucking American.
Yeah.
See, this again. And
this is the problem.
This is the fucking shit I'm talking about.
The British are taking our jobs.
They're taking our jobs. The Aussies are taking our jobs. Yeah. We don't know who's an American anymore.
The Canadians
who's a patriot
are taking our jobs. Honestly, like, we need to have like an actor ban that happens for all the countries where all the good actors come from. Seriously.
Go back to your country, sort it out, then tell us how to act, America.
Yeah, exactly. Sort out your own shitty programming. If it's so good in your country, if you're such a good actor, how come every show in Canada sucks?
Yeah.
You know, if you think about that.
Well, this Schitt's Creek's good.
That's true.
That's pretty good.
But
Trailer Park.
JM was pointing out that this seems to be a theme in the Bond franchise where they make like some sort of vague gesture towards wokeness with like a storyline that they released prior to the movie coming out. Like last time it was Monica Bellucci was like James Bond's age appropriate Bond girl.
Right.
Because she was 50 and Daniel Craig is 46.
Still referred to as a Bond girl.
Right. Bond girl, course. But she gets killed like immediately. And then he has a 20 something or a 30 year old, you know, girl that he's having sex with the whole movie or whatever.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, he was pointing out that he thinks they have to do that because Bond is inherently such a problematic character.
Right.
So they you can't actually make him less problematic. You can't make the movie franchise less problematic because that is something like in the novel of Goldfinger, James Bond literally rapes Pussy Galore because she's a lesbian.
What?
Jesus, that happened. Christ. That's in the novel. That's how he punishes her.
Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out like James Bond pretty problematic.
Yeah. And
so is James Bond is canceled, I'm pretty sure.
So they put these stories out there that are like misleading to make it seem like James Bond is going woke.
This is what Hollywood has been doing with their Twitter money. Like anytime they want to market on Twitter, they will try to pump up something woke that they did, which is hell of annoying because then you watch the movie and it's the same fucking garbage that Hollywood's been spewing forever.
Yeah.
You know, so it is absolutely like a marketing ploy, but it is one of those things where you're just like, everyone who complains about it is the fucking worst. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, it has been a pleasure having you.
Oh, man, it's been so much fun. We got to talk about James Bond.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We got to talk about Magic Eye.
James Bond, Shambong.
Shambong, James Bond, all the shit. All the good stuff. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, man, where can people find you?
Dude, I'm on Twitter, at Matt Lieb, MattLieb, and Instagram, Matt Lieb Jokes. And yeah. Those are the things I do.
And where can they hear your voice, bro? What about your voice, man? You just stuff on the internet with
Freaking listen to the Film Drunk Frotcast. I do that with Vince Mancini, also a previous guest on this show. Yeah, Film Drunk Frotcast, FROTCAST, Frot.
Mm. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Dude, yes. There's the most recent tweet that I've really enjoyed is by comedian Johan Miranda. It's GOP. You know, this is like a script format. GOP. We need more money to put illegal children in cages, Democrats, handing them a big bag of cash. Don't you mean undocumented?
Jesus Christ.
I love that tweet.
So sums it up.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. There's so many tweets I like. First one from Dana Donnelly at Dana Donnelly. My ex told me he has a new girlfriend. I said, oh, yeah? Well, how's her joke writing? And he said, Dana, she's an office manager who doesn't feel the need to use her phone in the shower, and I really love her.
Oh, God.
Another one's from former guest Rachel Winitsky. Your stripper name is your first name and my last name. That's right, babe. I'm asking you to marry me. I love you so much. You're my best friend in the world, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And there's another one that is just a video, but this is just, I don't know. If you're someone who walks around with weed in public, this is like one of those things where it just says nobody, and it's blank, and then a video where it says weed in my pocket. Yeah, so sometimes when you're walking around with that, it's too loud. Yeah. It's so loud, and people are like, what? I think there's a skunk in here.
Right. I love that. yeah, it does become a little bit distracting around the office sometimes.
Is your first name and my last name, because I love you.
I love you, baby.
Rachel, come back.
Average Joe at Jazz in My Pants tweeted, hey, salt and vinegar chips, people. All chips have salt. You're eating vinegar chips.
Nice.
In your face, idiots. No, I really like those.
I feel like I really wanted to clear that up to show what side you're on.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack _ O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This track has this guy, MF Doom. And with Clams Casino producing, it's just something really cool. But this is JJ Doom. So this is with MF Doom and this other producer, Gennaro Jarrell. But this is like the Clams Casino version of a track on that album, which is called Book Fiend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
And if you like, I mean, look, if you listen to,
it's a lot to remember.
Yeah, if you listen to a lot of early ASAP Rocky, Clams Casino's productions all over that stuff.
Yeah.
He likes to like flip like Imogen Heap fucking samples and shit.
Right.
It's really it's out there. But yeah, this is just a track for Tuesday. You know,
mm-hmm. Tuesday track.
You know.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We're going to ride out on that song. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
For those embarrassed to know holier than thou or moly habits, parents to the go, we bring them up to speed slowly. On the low key, Kindles is phony D. Taste stale, see the world in shades of grayscale. Right there in black and white, protected by chainmail. Today's the day, maids away to see assisting them. Took my little men's with her, told them, loved them, kissed to them. These oversensitive youngins is on some new stuff. Can't sit still, focus the time it take to do enough. From off the mean streets of the can I get a dollar?
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.